comes clear and cool. Oftentimes my thoughts revert to scenes of childhood, where I first received my lessons nature school. But one thing there is missing in the picture. Without a face, it seems so incomplete. I long to see my mother in the doorway. Has she stood there years ago, a boy to greet?
Burglar's Bargains, a comedy for radio by Wally K. Daly, with Peter Jones as Charles Forbes, Lockwood West as George Evans, Donald Hewlett as Governor Smith, Bernard Breslaw as Bullethead, Charles Hawtrey as Fingers, and John Pullen as Brian Thompson. Burglar's Bargains.
It's absolutely amazing. How long did you say they'd been practicing now?
Barely 3 months, Charles.
Good Lord, sounds almost as good as a record.
Which one is he, by the way?
Who?
Thompson. Oh, the man himself. See the little bald-headed one who looks not unlike a small Sherman tank? I mean Bullethead. Grievous bodily harm. Robbery with violence.
That's the one. I'd forgotten you met. Well, next to him is the twins. 21 and 22, right?
Those two look like peas in a pod.
Yes, but just between them.
Oh, yes, I see the one. Rather city-ish.
Well done, Robert. Well done indeed. Robert.
Doesn't really look like your usual prisoner material, Governor. Rather too open-faced. What do you think, Charles?
After all our years with the Prisoners' Aid and Rehabilitation Society, George, you should know as well as I do. You can't trust judgment by the externals. Books by covers, chocolates by boxes, etc.
Bins by lids?
Yes. Oh, that's not the same thing at all, George.
Oh, sorry, Charles, misunderstanding again.
I've seen too many angels with dirty fingers in my time to be overly impressed by appearance.
Oh, this one is somewhat different, Charles. Accountant, first offence. Probably would have got off with a caution if it hadn't been such a large lump of loot he'd appropriated. Or the judge hadn't eaten pickles the night before. Anyway, he's done his time. 2 years. Gets out any day now. I'll be sorry to see him go. Being honest, B Block's been paradise since he arrived here. Paradise.
Just wait there, man.
Bullethead, how nice to see you again.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Evans. Nice that you and Mr. Forbes could come to our little concert.
You can forget the Mr. Bullethead, remember? Charles will always do the informal occasions.
Oh, sorry, forgot. Charles, being back inside that does it.
Just thought I'd take you to one side and say how much I enjoyed the whole show and your recitation in particular. Charming.
Oh, nice of you to mention it. It was nothing, really. Saying it was easy. Writing it was the hard bit, I reckon.
You wrote it yourself as well. Now, that is amazing.
Oh, no, you know I can't write. Leastways, not so you could read it. Brian writ it. Taught me to say it as well. Here, you know that sad bit at the end, where it looks like I'm going to cry?
I think I know the bit you mean, where your face sort of scrunched up.
That's the one. Well, that's acting.
Ah.
Brian taught me that as well.
Brian?
Yeah, Brian Thompson. Haven't you seen him? Lovely bloke. That city-looking gent over there, chatting to the governor and the mayor's wife.
Oh, yes, the accountant. No, we haven't met yet. Governor speaks highly of him. Writing poetry, acting lessons, concerts organised. How awfully clever. He must be quite an all-rounder.
Oh, he is.
Look, Bullethead, the governor tells me you're out again next week.
That's right.
Well, I don't know how long you intend to stay outside this time, but if you'd like to pop into Prisoners' Aid offices and see us when you get out, George and I'll try to fix you up with a nice little job to fill the gap till you come back inside again. All right?
Oh, no. Thanks all the same, Charles. No offence, but I'm fixed up already.
Really?
Yeah. All of us B-block blokes have a new future ahead of us. No more jail for me. All the rest come to that. This is my last bit of bird. New life starting.
Well, it's nice to hear you sounding so confident, Bullethead. Very good news. Who's managed to guarantee you such a settled future?
Brian, of course. Didn't you know? He's going to give us all a new start.
You made me really proud tonight, Thompson.
It's only your trust and friendship that's made it possible, sir. It's your concert more than ours.
I wouldn't have believed such a thing was possible. I think what you've managed to bring out in these B-block men with just a friendly word, a quiet chat in the corner, handshake, a smile, has impressed myself and my warders no end.
I'm very pleased to hear that.
They say they'll never forget the day they saw you go up to Bullethead, the toughest, most incalcitrant, and certainly the ugliest member of our not-overly-pretty intake. Saw you whisper just a few words, soft, into one of those cauliflower ears of his, and then watched amazed as attention fell from his face, not unlike a corrugated sheet falling from a derelict building on a tumble-down building site.
Oh. How is the book coming along, by the way, Governor?
Oh, quite well, thank you, Thompson. Nice of you to ask. And ever since, he too has worked towards maximum remission. Even been heard to whistle occasionally. It's amazing. The story could be repeated ad infinitum and encompass all of B-block. Not one man has put a foot wrong since you arrived, and now this lovely concert. A miracle.
It was nothing, sir.
Tell me, Thompson, what is the secret of your success? What did you offer them that changed their attitude so completely?
Hope, sir. Simply hope.
Hope?
Yes. Hope.
Ah, hope.
Now, perhaps I should get back to the party and the Lord Mayor's wife, Governor. She was looking rather lost.
Hope?
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Oh, sorry about the time. Traffic's murder. Lovely concert last night. Charming chap, the governor. Almost makes one wish one was an inmate. Safe and secure behind locked doors. Out of the way of our violent world. Makes one think, who are the real prisoners in this world, Charles? Who are the real prisoners? Charles? Are you all right, Charles?
I think you'd better read this, George. But brace yourself, it's a bit of a shock.
Good Lord. But why? We've always run this little office very efficiently. Why close us down now after all these years? It doesn't make sense.
The micro-dot revolution strikes again. Rationalization, I think they call it. A central computer at head office, so who needs little branches that can only give personal attention?
We're an anachronism, George, an anachronism.
Would you give me that as a smaller word, Charles?
Certainly old-fashioned. We're just too old-fashioned.
Ah, yes. Suppose we are, really. Well, are you going to take up the offer? Head office for our last couple of years?
Glorified office boys, pressing the odd button occasionally, never seeing a client. Not my way, George. Not my way. You?
Shouldn't think so.
I'd rather go out with a bang than a whimper any time.
Not much chance of bangs at our time of life, Charles.
I wonder. Would you take that, George? Kettle's boiled. I'll get the tea sorted out.
Of course. Prisoners' Aid and Rehabilitation Society, can I help you? Oh, Mr. Adams, how nice to hear from you again. No, I'm afraid not this year. We've just heard that this branch is being amalgamated with our larger sister office in West London. Yes. Oh, and for us. Well, if you contact head office direct, I'm sure they'll be delighted to help. Yes, indeed. We'll do that. Bye.
Interesting?
Harardi's. They're Mr. Adams. Personnel.
Oh, yes, of course. Sales day coming round again. Stackers and packers temporary required. No one too thuggish and no crimes too nasty having been committed. Sort of non-villainous villains, as one would say.
Yes.
Here you are. Tea. Chucky biscuit as well. Cheer ourselves up.
Thank you. 4 million, you know.
4 million what, George?
£4 million, the amount they took last year.
During the sale?
No, on the first day.
First day? 4 million? Good Lord.
Yes. Expected to be larger this year, 4.5, perhaps.
That'd be a nice pension scheme, George, a sort of golden handshake and a half.
Yes, it would indeed.
Yes, it would indeed.
I'm not sure whether I'll be strong enough when you're gone, Bri. You know what I'm like.
You've got to be strong enough, Bullethead. Your whole future depends on it. Don't worry, you're not alone. You'll have all the others at your side to help, won't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me and 22 will keep our eye on your bullet. Of course we will. Don't get in a panic just because Brown will be off out tomorrow. We'll all be out in a couple of weeks and then back together again.
Well, it's all right for you, Twinny, just like it is for Tommy the telephone. All of you who haven't got a violent nature can't understand someone like me.
Yeah, I can understand you, Bullethead.
Well, of course you can. You're a bleating murderer, ain't you? I'm talking about the others. the ones who ain't violent.
Oh, sorry, Bullet, I never thought of that.
Don't worry, if you appear to be about to have one of your turns and strike a warder or something, I'll hold you down, all right?
Oh, Tommy, it's lovely of you to offer, but I'd spread you all over the exercise yard, so I wouldn't bother, thanks all the same.
Well, if it's any help at all, we'll all hold you down.
Will you?
Yes! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's really nice of you. That should be a great help.
I'm sure there won't be any need. There's too much at stake for all of us. You know that as well as I do. Just keep doing the deep breathing exercises I taught you. Count to 20 slowly and everything will be fine.
Okay, boy. Look, there's just one other thing. When we get outside, can I be called by my proper name for my new lifeline?
Of course you can. What is it?
Cyril. Now I know you're my friends. That's the first time I've ever said my real name without having to hit someone afterwards.
Of course we're your friends, Cyril.
Yes, yeah, Cyril.
Now, before I go and have my final interview with the governor, let's hear the battle cry one last time, shall we?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Come on.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Who's the biggest? Who's the best? Who can always beat the rest?
Big block!
Delicious. I didn't really think our salary would run to this sort of place, Charles. Marvellous, marvellous, amazingly plush. Been saving up, have you?
No, I haven't. The firm's paying.
How nice, you never told me. That's jolly decent of them.
Well, actually, they don't know.
Ah?
I cleaned out the cash box and fiddled with the figures to balance it after you left this afternoon.
Doesn't really sound the sort of thing you do, Charles. Not in the normal course of events. Are you feeling all right?
Yes, fine.
Why did you clean out the cash box and fiddle with the figures to balance it, Charles? I mean, I'd have been happy with a hamburger.
It was a gesture. One can't make gestures with hamburgers, George.
Gesture?
The line between honest and dishonest is a very fine line, George. I decided to make a large leap over it. But before making the leap, I thought I'd test the waters, just have a taste of dishonesty for the first time in my life, before jumping in, get the feel of it. Oh, it tingles, George. And now I want to share the excitement with you.
Well, I've shared it. I mean, it was a wonderful dinner.
Not that. I want you to jump over the line into dishonesty with me. We've lived safe too long, George. It's time to risk all. Will you do it?
Well, we've only got the one cash box, and you've already cleaned that out.
No, not that. Not tested. Take my word. It tingles. I mean, make the big jump with me. Join me in dishonesty.
Charles, I really can't see myself with a black and white striped jumper, a Lone Ranger mask, and a flat cap leaping from roof to roof doing the raffles bit at my time of life.
Oh, George.
No, it's all right for you. You were in intelligence. Got used to that sort of thing. I only managed fire watching. I wasn't even very good at that. It's just not on.
George.
Now, I'm sorry. The thought of spending my autumn years doing hundreds of villainous little jobs just doesn't appeal.
Not hundreds, just one.
One?
Yes, one. A job so big that it'll set us up for what remains of our life and set the world on its heels at the same time. We take up, selectively, all those promises of help when needed that clients have made over the years.
You mean the any time I can do anything to help you, Gov, ones?
They're the ones. We put them all together and cash them in at one fell swoop, using our ex-client's skills and muscle and our ingenuity. We mastermind a job that'll give us and them security for life.
As big as that?
Bigger.
Ah, what is it, Charles? Tell me.
Now, are you with me, George?
Well, we've spent a pleasant enough 16 years together mixing with prisoners outside, so the thought of spending a few more years with you mixing with prisoners inside doesn't fill me with as much foreboding as I thought it would.
Palpitations of excitement starting to take over from the hotness?
Yes. Look, if you can convince me there's any chance of successfully pulling it off, whatever it turns out to be, I'll give it a whirl.
Good chap, I knew I could depend on you.
What exactly are we going to do, Charles?
In 6 weeks' time, the first day of Harada's sale, we are going to rob them of £4.5 million.
Hello, Safe and Secure Security. Can I help you? Mr. Perkins, a personal call. I see. Who's speaking? If you just hold 1 second, I'll see if he's free.
Managing Director?
I've a call for you, Mr. Perkins.
I'm sorry, Delia. I'm much too busy to take calls this morning. Could you deal with it or get them to call back or something?
The gentleman did say it was personal.
did he now? Yeah, what's his name?
Charles, sir. He said George and Charles wanted to chat.
Never heard of them. Yeah, fob them off, Dealey. There's a good girl.
Yes, sir.
Damn telephone. Should be banned. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Reroute the early wage runs to take in the bank in the High Street. That should just about do it. I don't believe it. Managing Director.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but the gentleman does say Prisoners' Aid and Rehabilitation Society may jog your memory.
Prisoners' Aid and...
Sir? Are you still there, sir?
Put him through, Delia. It's been a long time. The names had slipped my memory.
And I remember with special pleasure the day as a junior warder when Ramrod Stiff and Cold of Eye, looking, I'm sure, not unlike Cary Grant, in that renowned movie of the 40s, Revolt in Cell Block 15, I faced my first uprising by prisoners in Wandsworth Sea Wing. Sodom. Why can't they leave me in peace? I'd better get this lot away. File on disk. Pen in hand. Come.
Thompson, 762-381, sir.
Ah, Thompson. Come in, come in. On your way, are you?
Yes, indeed, sir. The release sergeant said you wanted to see me before I left. No problem, is there?
No problem at all. It's just that I've been mulling over what you said during our formal last meeting yesterday and had an idea that perhaps could help.
Mulling? About what, sir?
Well, about your helping the other prisoners on their release, finding them jobs, giving them hope and that sort of thing. And whether your mission is to be blessed with success or to be bogged in a mire of misery, I felt duty-bound to help.
Ah. In what way, sir?
Did you meet George Evans and Charles Forbes after the concert the other day?
George and Charles? No, I can't say I did. I was rather caught up chatting to the Lord Mayor's wife.
Of course. Charming lady. So glad she could come. Pity about that husband of hers still. Long story. Where was I? Oh, yes. Now, George and Charles are two chums. Personal friends of long standing. Run the local Prisoners' Aid Society, well, you know the thing. Anyway, I rang them after our meeting and told them your ideas for helping the others. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. It's very good of you to take the trouble. I did have something else in mind. But...
There's more, Thompson. They were naturally very excited at the thought of the challenge you're facing, a challenge they too face in the day-to-day round. And I get the distinct impression they do feel they may be able to put a job in your direction that will help your scheme enormously. I even heard the gentleman I was talking to, Charles, say to his partner, George, "Perfect, perfect. Why didn't I think of it? Just the man we need." But he may have been talking about something else.
What do you think, George? Nice store?
Yes. Exquisite china department. Very pleasant way to spend a lunch break strolling round. Very pleasant.
Makes you think, doesn't it? Tea service is costing the price of a semi-detached. Who buys here, George? Who buys?
Who knows, Charles? Who knows?
Do you think you've seen enough?
I think so. Head for the lift.
Fine.
Nice of Mr. Adams to see us at such short notice. Very nice.
Gentlemen of the old school.
Your old school?
Oh, no, the old school. Figuratively speaking.
Oh, I see. Ah, third lift along.
Going up. Have we seen Mr. Adams' personnel?
Managerial no account. Sixth floor, sir. Have you there in a jiff. Mr. Adams is fifth door on the left down the corridor, sir.
Thank you very much indeed. You're too kind.
All part of the service, sir.
Let's accidentally take a little stroll to the right, shall we, George?
Certainly, Charles. Nice and slowly.
Please. Managing Director's Office.
Assistant Director's Office.
Head of Security. Here we are, Accounts Department. Ah. Conveniently glass-fronted. How thoughtful of them.
And a hive of activity it is indeed.
Vacuum tube delivery. Fascinating.
How many people would you say?
About 50 or 60. More, perhaps. We've been noticed, George.
Who?
The overseer at the back there. Better give him a friendly wave and smile to prove we're not villains.
What's he fiddling with under his desk? Would you think he's got a button under there somewhere?
Can I help you, gentlemen?
He made me start.
Didn't hear you approach.
Could I see your staff cards, please?
Oh, we're not staff.
Not staff.
I'm sorry. This area is out of bounds to customers. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to return to the lower floors, gentlemen.
We're not customers.
No, we're not.
Could I ask, then, what you're doing here, outside accounts?
You must be security, of course.
Simpson, head of security. Would you be good enough to tell me what
you're doing? If you don't mind me saying so, that was awfully efficient. That chap who's obviously in charge in there gave us one quick glower, fumbled under his desk, and there you are, behind us. Alarm bell, was it?
Most efficient.
Hmm. Anyway, thank you. Now, you're here because...
Mr. Adams, personnel.
Oh, yes. Mr. Adams.
We have a meeting. George Evans and Charles Forbes.
How do you do?
Yes, I see. Mr. Adams' office is actually to the left, out of the lift, not to the right.
Oh, silly us.
George, speak for yourself, please.
I'm sorry, Charles.
Right. I'll take you along there myself, if you like. Make sure you arrive safely.
That's very civil of you, Mr. Simpson.
Hello?
Yeah?
It's Perkins.
Who?
Perkins from the Safe and Secure Security. I must speak to Mr. Galloney.
Speak up.
I can't speak up. Somebody might hear.
Hold on.
Yes, I'll hold.
Come on.
Mr. Galloney.
Why do you bother here?
Look, I know I'm not supposed to, Mr. Galloney, but...
Why do you bother here?
I think it might be important. I can't talk on the phone. Too many people. Must see you.
Oh, you must not be followed.
Yes. I'll make sure I'm not followed. Goodbye, Mr. Galloney.
No, I wouldn't take it personally. Bit of a stickler, is Simpson. Likes everything to be just so. Touch starchy. Ex-Hong Kong police. Good chap, but starchy.
All those laundries, I should imagine.
Yes, something like that. Only doing his job, I suppose. And as well to check we were really seeing you. I suppose you're right. Mind you, the thought of two nice gentlemen like yourselves getting up to anything shady is just too funny to contemplate. You've got to laugh.
Yes, you have indeed.
Now, to business. I was very pleased to receive your phone call about the extension of life your branch has received.
Good news for us, too. We'd hate to let you down during the sale. A pinprick against your overall needs, but every little helps, I suppose.
It certainly does. Your head office was a bit weird, as it turns out.
Oh? When exactly did you speak to them, Mr. Adams?
The day you told me you were going out of business.
Oh, good. I thought you meant recently.
No. Mind you, I couldn't see myself dealing with them in any case.
Oh, we know the feeling exactly.
Said they're sending me a computer infill slip, whatever that is, so they can file our needs. It's not slips I need, I said. It's people.
Yes, I suppose it would be.
Between you and me, gentlemen, what I need even more than people is someone to process their applications. My normal personnel staff is run off its feet with full-timers. Never mind the sales time extras. You have no conception of the problems one gets when one employs over 5,000 girls.
Mainly with conception, I should imagine.
Usually.
It's interesting you should mention personnel, because we do know of someone who might interest you greatly on a part-time basis.
One of your chaps?
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. It just wouldn't be on. No offence, but there's no way we can have any of your chappies at the executive washroom level. Oh, you've met Simpson. How do you think he'd react if he found himself shoulder to shoulder at the wash basin with an ex-prisoner?
Not even someone very special? Perhaps even a victim of an overzealous judiciary?
Or of a judge having had pickles the night before?
I'd need a great deal of convincing before it happened. A great deal of convincing indeed, special or not.
Well, as we haven't met him officially ourselves yet, and he may not be the sort of fellow who suits us even, but if he was, and I think he may well be, he could be a great deal of help checking the part-timers out. He's the workload on the department enormously.
I admit good personnel people are like gold dust at the moment, and no way will we get another experienced person by sales time.
16 years now we've been putting selected chaps in your direction at sales time, Mr. Adams.
Good Lord, is it really that long?
Nearly is.
Have we ever let you down?
No. I must admit we've never had an iota of trouble with any of them.
Well, but...
Better?
Much.
It's been a long time.
2 years. Two long years.
But better now.
Much. I feel completely...
sated.
Good word. I'd forgotten how fantastic you were.
No. No compliments. They're not needed.
Not needed, but deserved. It was incredible, Bella. Absolutely incredible.
I managed to get a lot of practice in while you were away. Helped to pass the time.
It shows. You've been reading some new books as well.
Yes. Trying out the variations. Our friends were always willing to help judge any new ideas I came up with.
I bet. If that was a fair example of your new skill, I reckon they must have been queuing up at the door.
Do you still love me?
More than ever.
Well, having got dinner over with, what now? Shall we?
No. I've got to go out, I'm afraid.
But you've only been back 2 hours.
I got a skiing going while I was inside. I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Oh, you'll be careful, Brian. I'd hate to lose you for another 2 years.
No danger of that. I've learnt my lesson, Bella.
Don't do anything dishonest.
Don't get caught.
Stop it, Brian. You made one mistake and ended up in prison. That doesn't make you a criminal. Now you're out and can find a job and settle down.
How? Who's going to employ an accountant caught with his fingers in the till and a 2-year gap in his insurance stamps?
That's over. It's behind
you. Bella, if I was an employer, I wouldn't employ me to collect the tea money and empty piggy banks. Accountancy and I are finished, I'm afraid.
I could use an accountant at the factory.
Uh-uh. You know what I feel about female bosses. Male chauvinist, remember?
Oh, I'd forgotten. So what do you do now?
I'll tell you soon, Banner. Promise. But first I've got to go and see two gentlemen the prison governor contacted on my behalf and let them know I'm not interested in whatever they have to offer in the way of respectable employment without hurting their feelings too much. They sound like a nice pair of old codgers. Straight as a die, apparently.
Don't you think we might be pushing our luck rather far, Charles? Coming down into the sub-basement like this, it's patently out of bounds.
Purely accidental, George, purely accidental. A couple of old duffers like us obviously lost our way, stumbled down the wrong flight of stairs, that sort of thing.
But what's the point? I mean, these miles of dark, dank, eerie catacombs of Herardis corridors do have a creepy sort of fascination, but I can't see the point as regards...
Shh! What is it? Listen. Just hit somewhere.
Shh. These corridors aren't haunted by any chance, are they, Charles?
Of course not. I don't think.
What on earth is it?
I don't know, but I think we'd best find out. It could be important.
It's getting nearer.
Let's creep along the wall, look around the corner.
Do I have to, Charles? Our lunchtime must be nearly up by now, and you know what I'm like about timekeeping.
Of course we have to. Where's your spirit of adventure gone to, George?
I think it ran off down the corridor when the noise started.
Nearly there now, just a few more yards. Don't hang back.
Oh, sorry, Charles.
There we are. Look round the corner carefully.
After you.
Together. I'll duck down and peep round the bottom. You peep round the top. Right?
Right.
When I count to three. One, two, three. Peep.
Good Lord.
Okay, boys, you can both leave us now.
Wow, Chief.
Okay, Mr. Killarney.
Stay at the side. I may wish you to issue chastisement.
This man should not be here.
What did you think you're playing at, Pukins?
Perkins.
The organization expects you to run safe and secure security without revealing our connection. You could have jeopardized years of work by coming here to the mansion, huh? Oh.
We give you an important job, even though you're not family and you act like an idiot to repairs.
I had to come, Mr. Killarney. Huh? Something's happened that could be worrying. I didn't dare say on the phone too many years.
Worrying?
I was rung today by the Prisoners' Aid and Rehabilitation Society.
So, you had the phone call. So what? Who are these people? What's their racket?
They find work for ex-prisoners like me. They're too nice,
don't say that. How many times do you have to be told you're no longer an ex-prisoner, okay?
Okay.
You're a responsible businessman running a responsible business. A non lo dimentica.
Sorry.
Go on.
They rang me and asked me to go to a meeting on Saturday.
Why do they ring you?
To go to a meeting on Saturday.
No, Tom, I got to that a bit.
Perché do they ring you in particular?
Oh, me? Well, as I say, friends from the old days.
But how do they know where to find you now?
Well, they knew where to find me now, because...
Go on.
Because the time I started at Safe and Secure Security, they were looking for work for me, and I rang them up and told them not to bother looking anymore, so I got fixed up with a wonderful job.
Oh, idiot!
Well, what else could I do? They've been so friendly.
Dummy, buffoon! Have you any idea how much of the organization's money is tied up in this project? How many years it's taken to get to the point where we're accepted as a totally legitimate security company? And you stupido hexagon, ring up this prison society and tell them you got to work there.
Sorry, Mr. Killarney.
Sorry? You'll be more than sorry, Pukins, if our cover is blown, if the family's interest is endangered because of your stupidity, you end up in a concrete socks.
Shoes, Mr. Killarney. Shoes. The saying is concrete shoes.
Socks! Now get out of here. Go to this meeting, find out what's going on, and if they present any threat at all to our security, if they know too much, they must be blown away. Got that? They must be deaded.
But
deaded. I, Angelo Calonne, have spoken.
Many years. Many, many, many years.
As many as that.
Oh, yes. Many, many, many. Since before my hair turned grey, I have worked for Mr. Harades.
And you're happy in your work?
Oh, extra static. Always have I been extra static about my work. From the very first day I took up the brush, I've been so happy.
Doesn't it get a bit boring, brushing miles of underground corridors day in, day out?
Boring? How can it get boring? I sing my songs, I sweep, I think, I dream my dream.
Your dream?
Yes. I take away curry house. Proprietor, Sanjay Patel. Alas, I save and save, but still only a dream.
Why is that? You don't look exactly the spendthrift type. Surely can't cost that much to set up a takeaway curry house.
Or true, but in my youth it seems every time I smile at my wife, she's pregnant. I smile too often. Six smiles, six girls, six dowdies. Six times all my savings gone. Now too old to smile. But also, I fear, too old to save for the seventh time.
Well, one never knows. Things turn up occasionally. Yes, occasionally things turn up, don't they, George?
Do they, Charles?
Yes, of course they do. Sanjay, I wonder if you'd like to show us around. Give us a chance to see your handiwork, see if we can find any dark corner you've missed.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. But is it allowed?
Oh, yes, we've spoken to Mr. Simpson in security, no problem.
Oh, very good. Follow me, gentlemen.
Charles.
Well, we have spoken to Mr. Simpson in security, haven't we?
Yes, I suppose we have.
Come through to the office, Mr. Thompson. We'll make ourselves comfortable. Like the concert, by the way. Sorry
yes,
we didn't
indeed.
Get a chance to chat.
Well, I got rather tied up with the Lord Mayor's wife, I'm afraid.
Pity about that husband of hers. Like to sit down, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
The governor was rather fulsome in your praises.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
He does seem to be developing a line in somewhat colourful phraseology these days.
Yes, writing his memoir.
That probably explains it.
Well, Mr...
Call me Charles, everyone else does. We're not really officious officials, are we, George?
Oh, indeed not. Feel free to George and Charles as much as you like.
Hello, Brian.
Brian, of course. Pleased to meet you officially, Brian.
How do you do?
Before we start, I would like to say one thing. I think the governor might have misinterpreted my intentions slightly.
Good.
Pardon?
Good. Brian, just let me briefly read between the lines and see how near the mark I get.
Fine.
You chat with your fellow prisoners. The prison goes very quiet. Everyone goes on their best behavior, right?
Right.
Therefore, you have a scheme afoot that appeals to all of them, right?
Right.
The governor misinterpreted your actions.
Correct.
In fact, you're not really interested in finding your unfortunate fellow inmates good, honest employment on their release from prison.
True.
But are indeed intending to invite them to join you in some good, dishonest employment on their release.
Amazing.
Charles spent 4 years in intelligence during the war. Very good at that sort of deduction thing. Crosswords and what have you.
Besides which, we've been around the shady side of the business for a number of years.
I don't suppose you'd be willing to tell us what you had in mind, would you, Brian?
George!
Manners, of course. How remiss. Awfully sorry.
No, that's all right.
But I was just wondering. Nothing to do with a large London store by any chance, is it?
George!
Sorry.
No. Nothing to do with stores, gentlemen. I'm sorry to have wasted your time like this, but as the governor went to the trouble and as he's bound to check up...
But you haven't wasted our time, Brian. In fact, we've got a proposition for you, and for whichever of your merry band are released over the next weeks, Bullet Head, Twins, Tommy the Telephone, and who have you, that I think you might find too good to miss out on.
Come.
Excuse me, Mr. Adams.
Ah, Dorney, what can I do for you?
Is Miss Brian Thompson to see you?
Oh, yes, I was expecting him. Close the door a second, Doreen. Come in. Look, I promised two old friends of mine I'd see this chappy Thompson about a temp personnel manager's job here. But before I even start, I know it's just not on, so perhaps you could give it about 5 or 10 minutes and then come in and do the usual don't forget your important meeting bit, all right?
Very good, Mr. Adams.
Right. Show in, Doreen.
Would you come in now, Mr. Thompson?
50,000 nicker each.
What are you going to do then? Turn over the Bank of England?
Not the crown jewels or the Bank of England, but big.
You're talking about the millions.
Exactly, oh, Nicky.
Before Charles goes on to discuss what we have in mind, I think this is the time when anybody who has any objections to getting themselves involved in something quite this large should leave. You agree, Charles?
Of course. We rang and invited you select few past clients here, hoping you'd like to join us in our scheme. If you don't, naturally, there'll be no hard feelings if you leave.
I say, a lot of us here have been going straight. Well, sort of straight for a longish time now, so how come you picked on us knowing that? I mean, you must have plenty of active villains on your books, Charles.
Two reasons, Finlis. First, because you've been going straight.
I did make a point of saying almost, Charles.
And second, because you've all got a particular skill required for the job in hand. Eric, burglar alarms, Barry, mechanics, Fingers, lockpicking, etc. Add to that the fact that we know you are all to be trusted and you become the obvious choice.
Well, I'm certainly to be trusted and I wouldn't blow your caper even if I wasn't finally involved. But I can't honestly see my present skill as a tube train driver being much use. To knock off the fleet of them and sell them to the Chinese, that is.
And what about me? All I've got is a nightclub, no special skill. I can't see how that gets me involved in this project.
Billy, you'll soon see where the tube comes in. Nicky, you've got two things going for you at the nightclub. Muscle men, if need be, and more important,
hostesses.
Yorgo, you're getting very naughty in your old age.
They may be very essential as a diversion on the day.
Or the night, as the case may be.
And what about me?
Perky Perkins, well, how nice. Almost didn't see you sitting at the back there. What's the question, Perky?
Well, as you know, I now work for a legitimate security company. You can't seriously expect me to jeopardize my position there by getting involved in anything shady after all these years, can you?
Oh, come on, Perky, have a heart. Everybody here knows that Safe and Secure Security is as bad as an Irish free band, no?
That is not true.
Come on, I've got half the villains in London working for them.
It's a mafia money launderer, is it not, Perky?
Sure, that's the reason it's never been knocked off by any of the gangs.
It certainly is not. It's a well-trusted, old-established...
Boys, no rancor, please. Perky, your position won't be jeopardized in any way by joining our scheme, that I can promise. I do admit the company's image may be a little tarnished.
Yeah. How come?
It's one of their customers who's the target.
Well, then, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I shall leave.
Come on,
I cannot be a party to anything that throws the reputation of Safe and Secure Security into danger.
It hasn't got a reputation.
One moment. Perky, we're quite happy that you should leave. If you don't want to be in, that's all there is to it. But remember, the conversation so far is private, all right? For old time's sake.
I'm sorry, Charles. I may feel obliged to pass on the information to my superiors.
That's enough, gentlemen. If he wants to go, he goes unharmed. Very well, Mr. Perkins. But if you do decide to tell them, perhaps you'd also tell them that we have on our records files that cover at least 300 of their present employees. And if they do anything to get in the way of our project, copies of the files will land on various desks.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good riddance. He always was a miserable git, even in Parker's.
Before we get down to the serious business of discussing the actual plan, would anyone else like to leave? Good. Now I think we should all have a drink. Put the kettle on, George.
How nice of you to say so, Mr. Thompson. Do you really mean it?
Yes, indeed.
Gregory Peck. Good Lord.
Truth, as my mother used to say, is a very inexpensive commodity, not applied as often as it should be.
Used to say?
Yes, she died when I was quite young. Car crash.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Brought up by your father, I suppose?
No, he was driving.
Oh.
Still, I mustn't grumble. It was a very good orphanage I was sent to. Very good indeed.
Ah. I'm pleased to hear that. Now, where were we?
You were telling me about the Amateur Dramatic Society you belong to and your plans for starting one here.
Oh, yes, indeed I was. Come. Yes, Doreen, what is it?
Well, get you have a meeting with the directors in 5 minutes, Mr.
Adams. Oh, too busy, Doreen, too busy. Ring them up and cancel it.
Very good, sir.
Right. Where were we? Oh, yes. Dramatics.
You haven't got the cat in hell's chance of pulling it off.
I know for a fact the bank there's like a fortress.
It's a crazy idea, Charlie. You're really biting off more than you can chew.
You're right, Harry. Karadi's bank, as you say, is a fortress and we don't touch it.
Well, how do you get to the money?
Yeah. What's the scheme, then?
One moment, gentlemen. George, the map.
Certainly, Charles.
Now, here, fourth floor, as you see, we have the bank.
Flipping fortress.
Agreed. And two floors directly above the bank, we have the accounts department.
Which is not a flipping fortress, as Eric so nicely put it.
George.
Sorry, Charles.
As all money taken passes through accounts, it is well burglar alarmed, but not impregnable.
Pardon?
Not impregnable. Oh, sorry, Barry. Not like a flipping fortress.
No, I get it, to be sure, yes.
The two function as completely separate units, except that the bank on the fourth floor is used for short-term storage.
How do you mean, short-term storage?
During the day, every half hour or so, accounted sums in sealed bags are transferred to the bank vaults for safekeeping.
Yeah, how much at a time?
We estimate no more than about £25,000 per bag. At the end of the day, the total accumulated bags, still sealed, are collected from the bank by a security company.
None other than our friend Mr. Perkins' lot, as it turns out.
And the bags are then taken to a holding bank in the city for cross-checking and final accounting the following day.
Yeah, you've been doing your homework.
Yeah, true.
Now, the question we had to ask ourselves was, where was the weak link?
I can't see one. If you've got an accounts department well alarmed, there would be no point in robbing anyway.
You're right, Fingers. You'd only get a top take of 25,000. Less than a few thousand each is useless.
Well, if you could get out of the place when you got it, that is. You'd be a bit vulnerable up there on the sixth floor, would you not?
True, Barry, very true.
So what does that leave? The bank itself must be near enough invincible.
Yeah, and any trouble there, they'd slam the vaults and it's bound to be time-locked.
Right.
Take an atom bomb to ship that once it's closed.
Do you think we should let them into the missing link, George?
We should indeed, Charles.
Right. Pencil. There is something that's been left off the map by the store's mapmaker, purposefully, I would imagine.
A little bit of shading required. Side by side at the back of the bank area there, one, two. And directly above, side by side at the back of accounts there, one, two. And there, gentlemen, you have it.
Yes. Doors?
Doors. But more importantly, lift doors.
How come they're not shown on the other floors?
They don't go to the other floors. These lifts are not for customers' use. You'd be hard-pushed to get two people into them.
One man and a bag does fit very comfortably, mind you.
Why two of them if they're that small? Why didn't they make just one slightly bigger one?
Good question, Fingers. Alternate days, alternate lifts. I presume they got worried that if one of the lifts broke down, they'd get an accumulation of money in accounts department which isn't secure enough to take it. Whatever the reasons, these lifts, gentlemen, are the whole key to our operation.
And that was that, I'm afraid. I got 2 years.
Good Lord. Well, that's an amazing story, Mr. Thompson. Stranger than fiction. The funny thing is, I believe every word of it. If only you could have told them in court.
Oh, no. He would have got jail instead. There's no doubt about that. But how could I have faced his wife, knowing that she had such a short time left to live?
A terrible dilemma. A terrible dilemma. I doubt whether I'd have had the courage to face it. 2 years in jail for another man's crime. How awful.
Oh, it's done now. I've paid his debt to society. It's behind me. The tragedy is the punishment goes on, Mr. Adams.
How's that?
Well, I know you've kindly agreed to see me because of your good relationship with Charles and George, but, well, being honest with ourselves, there's no way you can employ me. I do understand. If I was in your shoes, I know I wouldn't be brave enough to take a decision like that. So I'll say goodbye, and many thanks for taking the time to see me. Even though we both knew from the start it was an impossible dream. If you don't mind, I'll tell George and Charles they do have a real friend in Harades, but they ask too much of him. Goodbye, Mr. Adams. It's been a pleasure meeting you.
Just a moment, Mr. Thompson.
Yes?
There comes a time in every man's life when he must go out on a limb and trust his own judgment against all odds. My time has arrived. Come back and sit down, Mr. Thompson. Let's talk about what the job involves.
Yeah, but if the lifts only go between accounts and a bank, and a porter carries her bags down, I can't see how it helps.
Maintenance.
Maintenance?
The lifts have to be maintained. An outside firm's employed. As I said, they don't stop on any other floor, but they can be recalled direct to the basement for maintenance. As far as we can gather, only head of security and the maintenance company have the keys to open the doors down there and the key to the call button. Also, the doors are wired into the store's general security system here.
An Indian friend of ours tells us he tried opening the doors to give the lift a sweep one day, and in no time, the basement was swarming with security men.
I should imagine the alarm side of it should prove no great problem to you, Eric.
Well, not exactly in practice. Might even be a bit rusty. So I'd have to get in to have a look around a few days beforehand, but I shouldn't imagine it'd be much problem. My job, no locksmith.
But Fingers is, aren't you, Fingers?
Oh, yes. Can't see any problem there. Average maintenance lock is child's play. And the lift call keys are nothing. Even the tricky ones are only a bent hairpin job. I always carry a couple of those.
So that leaves the lift itself. Contactors to be juggled as necessary, speed to be increased, and any breakdown instantly repaired. Barry?
Well, naturally, like Eric, I'd want to get inside and have a look first. Check the contactor panel and what have you. But I can't see it causing any great problems, to be sure.
Good. That seems to be everything covered.
I still don't see what good it does if you do call the lift on. You're still only dealing with at best one packet at a time. And once one disappears, ding-dong, the alarms are ringing all over the place.
Oh, we're dealing with every packet delivered from accounts to the bank on sales day.
Yeah, how come?
Haven't you twigged yet?
Control the excitement, George. It's a little undignified in front of professionals.
Sorry, Charles.
Gentlemen, two porters. The real bags come straight down to the basement in one lift, while phony bags go up to the bank in the other.
Blimey.
Okay, I get the message. No more apologies.
Sorry, Mr.
Please, Bailey. No more apologies. You sorry you came to the mansion again, but it's important. Now get to the point. What was the meeting about that was so important that you must yet again come here?
They're going to pull off a job.
So, they're going to pull off a job. So what? Hundreds of twopenny halfpenny hoods pull off hundreds of twopenny halfpenny jobs every day. So what concern is it of mine, eh? You want I should ring the police?
It's against one of our customers.
What? How dare I? They would interfere with the business of the family. They'd be shredded and have their legs ripped off. Does either of them keep a horse?
I don't think so, Mr. Galloni.
A pity. Still, that has been done perhaps too many times already. They must be attended to and our customer protected. Which customer is it? The customer, Pukins.
The customer. Which one are they going to hit and when?
I don't know, Mr. Cologne.
You don't know?
No.
Why not?
Well, as soon as they started talking about this thing that could put the business at risk, naturally, I left.
Ah, yes. You left. Idiota! Imbecile! Any I accept? Without finding out who they're going to hit, how can we protect our interest and the interest of our clients if we don't know who is threatened?
Sorry, Mr. Cologne.
You know how many millions of pounds we carry any week?
Yes, Mr. Cologne.
How many banks, the stores, the supermarkets, our clients?
Yes, Mr. Cologne.
So how are we supposed to know who to protect?
Sorry, Mr. Cologne.
Madre mia! Protect me from such cretiniosis.
One other thing, Mr. Cologne.
Yes.
They said if there's any interference... Go on. They have files on employees. They can prove hundreds of people with records are employed by Safe and Secure. And they'll...
Enough. They go too far. Find out what their plan is. Appear to go along with them. Tell them a change of heart.
Very good, Mr. Cologne. What do you intend to... What?
It is for the family to decide. There will be a meeting. But I think your friends are the dead men.
Okay, so far so good. You've got all these sealed bags coming down from accounts full of lovely money. But they're not going to hand you replacement bags on a plate to send back up to the banking floor, are they?
They already have, Barry. There's a storeroom full of empty ones in the basement. All we've got to do is make sure we've put enough aside for our own purposes before the rest are taken to the accounts for the sales day rush.
Right, so look on the bright side. It works perfectly. You've got all these bags... How do you get them out?
Same way as we get you all in.
And how's that?
Billy.
Yes, Charles?
If I'm not mistaken, your tube run is still the Piccadilly line, isn't it?
True. 4 years now. It's about time for a change.
Good. Our Indian friend, Harari's underground passage sweeper extraordinaire, took us recently on a conducted tour of his domain and showed us something very few people know.
Hey, you don't mean...
Exactly. There's a way to get from your tube train cab directly into the underground complex beneath Harari's. That's how you all get in, and that's how the money gets out. Gentlemen, as the advertisements advise, we travel by tube.
What a funny thing. What a funny, funny thing. All my sweeping into special little bags, they say, instead of dustbins proper. Very, very strange. Very, very, very strange. But they look honest men. Sandy Patel, they say, you do this thing, keep very, very, very quiet. Remember the story of the three brass monkeys. And you, finally, the owner of a takeaway curry house. So extra sighting. Nearly smiled at my lovely wife. Luckily, stopped myself in time.
Well, I must admit, Charlie and George, you've got a knockout plan going here.
Thank you very much, Eddie.
You're too kind.
I cannot see yet where I come in.
You'll be the liaison between basement and upstairs, Nicky. Radio contact in case anything goes wrong. Also, we'll want some of your nightclub girls working on counters on each floor, about 20 altogether, ready to create a diversion if need be.
A moment, please. Not a word against my girls, I won't hear. They take their clothes off very nicely for the club's customers, but no way are they counter girl material. Counter girls, no. How could you possibly get them jobs there anyway?
The kind of thing of it, the same thing applies to the blokes taking the money bags from accounts to the bank. You can't just whip me in any old Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Just one moment. This is who I hope it is. I'll have the answer to both your questions in just a few seconds. Hello? Speaking. How did it go? Fantastic. When did you start? That's marvellous news. Marvellous. Bye. That gentleman was Harada's temporary personnel officer.
Personnel officer?
A Mr. Brian Thompson. Nice chap. You'll meet him. But not only is he Harada's personnel officer, he is also our personnel officer. And... he has a ready-made staff leaving prison over the next few weeks. Nicky, prepare your prettiest girls. And break the news gently. They're about to become temporary sales assistants at Harada's.
That's marvellous news. How fantastic that they got you fixed up with work on only your second day out of prison. And such a good job. It's really incredible, Brian.
Yes, isn't it? Still, I did pull all the stops out of the interview, orphaned in childhood a lot.
Oh, Mr. Brian, you are wicked. If your mum and dad find out, they'll be furious.
Yeah, you could be right. Still, George and Charles are so nice, it seems a pity to let them down so badly afterwards.
Let them down?
Yes, it is a marvellous scheme, after all, and I can't fault it. Bit of luck and a tailwind, and they'll put it off.
Scheme?
I'm just talking out loud, Bella. There's a little perk that goes with the job.
Well, what?
I know best not to go into details, but it is a good idea. And I'll certainly go along with them as far as they've worked it out.
Well, if you're going along with them, I can't see what the problem is.
The problem is I'm going to add a little bit more, Bella. You see, I did promise my chaps in B Block a big cake when they came out. And this could very well be it, providing there are not too many people taking slices, that is. So I've decided that only my boys get to eat it with me. I'm going to double-cross George and Charles.
Brian!
Come.
Mr. Simpson from security to see you, Mr. Adams.
Show him in, Doreen.
I'm in.
Oh!
Thank you, miss. That will be all.
I'm sorry, Mr. Adams.
That's all right, Doreen. Mr. Simpson is obviously in something of a hurry.
Now, what exactly is going on here, Adams?
Mr. Adams, please, Mr. Simpson.
All right, Mr. Adams. What exactly is going on here?
Here? Where? Here in this office? Here in personnel generally? Here in this corridor?
You know very well what I mean. Here in this store.
Ah, the store.
I've never in all my years in store security seen such an unlikely bunch of temporary staff.
Oh, really?
On every floor I go to, I see gum-chewing girls that wouldn't look out of place in a downtown Kowloon house of easy virtue.
Mr. Simpson!
Maintenance crew and porters who look like mafia dropouts.
Mr. Simpson! We do not engage people for their favourable physical and facial characteristics. We engage them because their references and background prove them suitable for the work they're required to do.
Now, take that with a pinch of salt.
I assure you that our Mr. Thompson, who's looking after all the temporaries, knows exactly who to take on and who not to take.
I only hope you're right, Mr. Adams. I only hope you're right. I have a terrible feeling that something very strange is going on round here. And even when I find out what it is, heads will roll. Good day.
Calling hand. Over here.
Brian.
Get in.
Oh, Brian.
There you are.
Brian, I'm out, and I did it. I didn't hit anyone at all for 2 whole weeks, and the rest of the blokes what's left inside only had to hold me down twice.
That's fantastic. I'm really proud of you, Bullethead.
I'm a changed man, Brian, and it's all down to you. Oh, I can hardly wait to find out what you've got lined up for me. Tell me, Brian, what am I going to be doing that's going to change my whole life and keep me out of prison forever? Tell me, Brian.
It's only temporary at the moment, Bullethead. A couple of weeks' work. You don't mind,
do you? Oh, no, it's a start, isn't it? But what is it, Bri? It's going to surprise me. I don't care what it is. It's a new start. That's what matters. But what's the job?
Porter.
Pardon?
You're going to be a porter.
Oh.
At Harady's.
Where?
Harady's, the big department store.
How? Oh, that's nice. I've never actually been in there. Always seemed a bit too flash for me. Know what I mean? How long am I going to be working there, Brian?
About 2 weeks.
Well, it's a start, I suppose. How much will I earn, Brian, for the whole 2 weeks, like? A bit low, is it?
About £100,000, I should imagine.
Oh. Lot of overtime involved, is there?
No, not a lot, as it happens. There's some robbers robbing Harady's on sales day. I decided that B Block is going to rob the robbers, Bullethead. Our first group effort, as it were, just to set us on our feet. What do you have to say to that?
Well, nothing really, Bright, except you've forgotten something.
What's that?
I'm Cyril now, remember? Not Bullethead.
Could we have another pot of tea, Dolly?
Certainly, Mr. Evans. Would you like to see the cake trolley again?
Oh, no, thank you, dear. The gâteau was gorgeous, but enough is enough. Must watch the waistline at our age, Dolly. Oh,
yes, indeed, sir, we must.
Charming lady.
Charming.
What time is Brian arriving?
Any minute now, you should imagine.
Good. What do you think of Perkins' change of heart, by the way?
Rather fishy, George, rather fishy. But rather fun giving him a completely phony plan to take back to his superiors, don't you think?
I do indeed. Lovely idea. Revealing the venue, but not the modus operandi, as it were.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how far they'll let him go in helping us make the phony plan work.
Yes. Charming idea. Charming. Ah, here's Brian now.
Good.
Over here, Mr. Thompson.
All right.
Another cup and saucer with the tea, Dolly, please. Our friend has arrived.
Very good, sir.
Take a seat. Hello. You look fairly flaked. Everything all right?
Slight problem.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, thank you, miss.
Shall I call while I'm here, Mr. Evans?
No, thank you, Dolly. Mustn't impose. I'll manage, thanks, all the same.
Very good, sir. Cake trolley for you, sir.
No, just tea's fine.
Right.
Milk?
Please.
What's this problem?
Slight.
Simpson Insecurity's nose is twitching. I think he's very likely to try running a check on the next person I employ.
Not so good.
Yeah, we're going to have to settle for the ones we've got working inside at the moment and cancel the rest.
But what about the twins?
The governor's not letting them out until tomorrow. They're absolutely essential, Brian.
I've already got them on the books last week. Thought it best.
Well done.
And I put them on the porter's rota list as well.
Oh, excellent.
They're booked down to do the accounts job on sales day.
Marvellous, isn't he, Charles?
Didn't anyone grumble?
No. Considered to be the worst job of the lot on the actual day. Stuck in accounts all the time, popping down to the bank floor every half hour. Can't get away for a crafty smoke or anything. No problem there. Nasty jobs and the new boy's prerogative.
Have you taken both of them on?
No, just one. But I've got a spare uniform put aside for the other. I thought it best not to draw attention by letting both of them loose in the store at the same time. Until the big day, that is.
Which one have you taken on?
Lord knows. Just call them both Twinnie and you can't go far wrong.
Any worrying gaps in our forces?
Well, we could have done with a few more of Nicky's girls around the place for the diversion, if need be. But I do feel the ones we've got in there already are probably diverting enough to do it all by themselves.
I think you're right, Brian. Very diverting.
And how about your end of it?
The trial run went perfectly. Billy picked the chaps up in his tube train and delivered them safely to the entrance. It turns out the lifts themselves present no problems. Opened up like a dream. Anyway, our boys waited in there for 2 hours till Billy came round again, and he picked them up and dropped them off at the next station along the line. No problem.
Marvellous. Well, I think if you both agree, this ought to be the last time we meet before Saturday and the big show.
Certainly, Brian.
Infinitely sensible.
So, maybe toast?
Oh, yeah. Indeed.
To success.
To success.
What did I was wondering about? Where is Billy actually going to leave the full bags of money? Can't very well take them all back to the depot with him, can he?
Oh, no. Actually, it's a wonderful scheme. You dreamed it up and found the perfect place, George. Impress Brian with its simplicity.
Oh, how kind of you. Well, it's like this.
Funny world. What a funny, funny world. For years I sweep, no one to talk to, all by myself. Just like Jack Thingy. And now, suddenly, Piccadilly Circus, rush hour time. First, George and Charles, they say, hello, fill the money bags with rubbish. Don't tell anyone, extra specially Pokey Nose Simpson. Put them in the secret place till sales day. Then, a takeaway curry house for Sandy Patel. Ooh, very good, sir, I say. Very, very good to oblige. My very much pleasure. Then a second hello. Me, new personnel officer, Mr. Thompson. Fill some more bags for me. Don't tell anyone, extra specially not George and Charles or Pokey Nose Simpson. Put them in another secret place near the liver's exit till sales day. And then a second takeaway curry house for Sandy Patel. Very good, sir, I say. Very, very good. Number third, hello. Now men arrive by tube train. Play with lifts. Another takeaway curry house, perhaps. Very soon, I think. A whole daisy chain of takeaway curry houses all over the country. Sandy Patel in big, big letters outside. Funny world. What a funny, funny world. More sweeping, Sanjay. Must get Mr. Thompson's order completed.
I don't care how difficult it is to be arranged.
But, Mr. Killeney, we have hundreds of jobs fixed for that day. It's one of our busiest times.
Well, unbusy it. Cancel. Jugalando. I want the whole area around the store swimming with your security vans. You got to that? Security vans and hundreds of them.
Mr. Killeney, it'll cost a fortune in goodwill.
I don't care if it costs 2 fortunas and goodwill. Do it. And no crooks on the job, only stripper guys. These prisoners, they the hoods, must see it's hopeless. Got to that? Hopeless.
I've already told them that.
How could they do this thing? Mamma, God rest her soul, loved that place. No European at all. It was a complete unless she'd had tea there. She would turn on her grave if she knew of this horrible thing that threatens it. Oh,
don't worry, Mr. Killeney. When they attack our vans on the way to the city, we'll be ready for them.
Wait. Have they asked for the route? The security van route?
No, sir.
No, mamma mia, we're being hoodwinked. They've got another plan. You've got to inform of the store.
Mr. Killeney, you know the first rule, no tale-telling.
The first rule is saving your life. The family's got on my head and a silver plate of these stupid heavy hoods pulling this thing off. Inform of the store of security.
But I can't do that.
Well, do it secretly. A secret phone call, okay?
Head of security, this is a friend. You're going to be robbed somehow on a sales day.
Oh, Mr. Killeney, he'll recognize my voice. I've been dealing with them, Mr. Simpson, for years.
Okay, you wanted to do something in this world? You do it yourself, Angelo. I'll ring him myself. Now, get out of here. And how many times do I have to tell you, huh? Don't come to the mansion.
But you asked me to come, Mr. Killeney.
Oh, yes, so I did. I forget.
Jet lag, okay?
I go now.
Remember, you go to the store with the vans, watch eagle-eyed like a big bastard.
So, gentlemen, a toast. To sales day and B-block... Yes?
I don't understand.
What don't you understand, Cyril?
Everything, really. The plan.
It's easy. I'm in account, sitting around waiting to take the real money bags to the bank.
While Twinnie 2 is in the basement, waiting to go up to the bank with the phony money bags. You got it?
Not really, Brian.
Look, Cyril, when I get a money bag, I go straight down to the basement in the lift instead of going to the bank floor, right?
Meanwhile, Twinnie 2 is on the way up in the other lift to the bank floor with a phony money bag. Now, gentlemen.
Then what?
The phony bags go into the bank safe and we keep the real ones.
Then the real bags are taken by tube to a safe dropping-off point.
Then, Cyril, when the store closes, George and Charles collect the money bags from the drop-off point and take them to their office for the share-out.
Yes.
Oh. I think I've got it now, Tommy. I really have. A nice, straightforward robbery. Good.
Exactly. Except there's just one other little thing, Cyril.
I can take one other little thing, I think, Brian. Now I'm nearly on top of it.
Good. Before George and Charles pick up the real bags from the dropping-off point...
Yeah?
We're going to swap them for phony bags of our own.
Sort of practical joke, eh?
No. More a sort of double-cross, really.
Oh, I see.
Still all right?
Yeah.
Good. And now, gentlemen...
Just one thing more, Bri.
Yes, sir.
Who are the baddies and who are the goodies?
Well, it depends how you look at it, really, Cyril. I think for your purposes, best consider anyone you recognise from B Block as a goodie, and anyone George and Charles have taken on, Eric, Harry, Fingers, all that lot, as baddies. Okay?
Oh, fine.
Now, gentlemen.
But George and Charles themselves are goodies, yeah?
No. They're baddies as well.
Oh. Do I have to...
No, hitting anybody. You see, they don't know they're baddies. They think they're goodies as well. That's our secret. So we can go on smiling and being friendly towards them.
Right. Mum's a word.
And now, gentlemen, I give you a toast. Sales day and B-block success.
Sales day and B-block success.
Oh, yeah.
Security staff positioned by the doors, Mr. Simpson. Sir! All ready to open when you give the word, sir!
Very good, Excellence Corporal. There's a little while yet. Now, men... You all know your tasks. What to watch out for? Pickpockets and shoplifters are your prime concern. Remember also, when the doors open, I don't want any of you panicking and running away like you did last year.
No, sir!
All right, stand by. Everybody to attention.
Again! Sir! Again! Sir!
Right. I shall now start my 2-minute countdown, and the sale will be underway. 120, 119, 118.
Make it go faster. We're going to be late, to be sure.
Well, I can't help it. Don't blame me for all the red lights we've been hitting this morning. It's sales day. The line's in chaos.
We should have set off earlier. I've said all along we should have set off earlier.
I don't arrange my own schedules, you know, Eric. I'll take what I'm given. Bad enough arranging it so I could do both shifts today. Fingers, move your elbow. You're in danger of doing me permanent injury.
It wasn't deliberate. I can't help it. It's so awfully cramped in here. Any other occasion would be quite friendly. But snuggled up together on the way to a robbery is ridiculous.
What are you stopping for now?
It's a red light again, look.
Go past it.
You can't go past red lights. Not in tunnels you can, no matter how late you are. This isn't a flipping car chase, you know.
Well, we could go very carefully.
Oh, stop talking like an Irish joke, Barry. There's obviously a tunnel full of tube head. You just can't squeeze past, you know.
This is ridiculous. Whole plan about to go down the pan because we have to travel by tube. We'll be the laughing stock of the underworld.
Underground, Barry, underground.
Oh, very funny. I just hope things go more smoothly when we eventually get to the store.
Well, here we go.
Quite a good turnout, Charles.
Very satisfactory.
Shall we stroll down and join the tail of the queue?
No, let's hang on till they've started going in. No rush.
You're right, of course. Shall we try the radio? See if it's working.
Of course. Mickey, can you hear me? Don't speak if you can hear, just wave. Can you see him, George?
Oh, yes. There he is, halfway down, middle of the queue. Yoo-hoo!
Control, George. Oh, sorry, I wasn't thinking.
Thank you, Nicky. Nicky, you can stop waving now. We've spotted you.
Good heavens, Charles. I don't want to worry you, but can you see at the front?
What? Who?
Good Lord, Governor Smith. What on earth is he doing here?
Remember what he said at our last meeting. An escritoire would make my writing life complete. Well, there's a beautiful one for sale on the ground floor, Charles. Very inexpensive, as it turns out.
Well, all I can say is, if he's got his wits about him, as well as an escritoire, the governor might also get a very interesting last chapter for his autobiography.
A little bit further, Mr. Tubby Driver. Oh, very good. Very, very good. Stop, please. Now you will all be able to stretch your long British legs and reach my lovely entrance hole. But please keep heads low so as not be seen by frustrating passengers.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, move it, Finger. Jump.
All right, wait a minute. I've got to jump.
Get it sorted out.
Welcome to Harrods, Mr. Liftman. Oh. It is indeed a pleasure to see you, Vance.
Thank you very much.
Well, can't stop you're the chat now, Paddy. We're in a hurry. Let him in the lift. Ship, Finger, ship.
Oh, won't you come in also, Mr. Train Driver? I brought some extra poppadoms and some real China tea for snack time break.
Cut the chat and get that grill closed up, mate. I've got to be off. I'll see you on the way back.
Oh, strange and silly fellow indeed. Still, perhaps he's just hurrying to catch a tube. Oh, Sanjay, you've made a little British joke. Very funny. Very, very funny indeed. Hurrying to catch a tube.
Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One. Hold your places, men.
Hold your places, men.
Sir.
What's the noise?
Sir.
Courage, men.
Courage.
Sir.
Zero.
Zero, sir.
Sir.
Open the doors, ex-Lance Corporal.
Sir. Opening the doors now.
What a stroke of luck, George.
Yes, it was indeed, it was indeed.
Did you actually see what happened to the governor?
Well, he was leading the rush, got there first by a fraction, leaned out to touch the escritoire, just as the six ladies hard behind caught up with him. I presume they were unable to stop.
What did he actually hit his head on?
I think it was the burnished copper-top executive desk right next to him.
Oh, that one? Well, he'll be out for hours.
Should imagine so.
Where did they take him?
Straight up to casualty on the sixth floor.
And did you see who one of the stretcher-bearers was?
Yes, I did. Good job the poor governor was unconscious. I didn't realize Brian had taken a B-block bloke into the casualty department as well.
They're everywhere, George. Simply everywhere.
You've gone too, Bullethead. But, Brian, I love this job, honest. It's the first time in my life I've really enjoyed something that wasn't rude or illegal. Let me go on doing it just for today, please.
Third floor, ladies and gentlemen. Coat, hat, millinery. Minus debt, please. Thank you. Let them out now. Don't push. Lots of room.
22. Sick.
Well, I can't help that.
Look, Sam, you're the only other one I've got with a porter's uniform that fits. You'll have to be the one who takes the phony sacks up to the bank.
But, Briar, the store needs me here. It's a very busy day.
Stuff the store.
Briar.
Second floor. Bedroom and dining room furniture. Piano, kitchenware, etc. Minus step, please. Thank you. Let them out now. Don't push. Lots of room.
Look, Finger's in the basement. He's going to take this lift out of service. You go straight to the sub-basement and stand by to take the bags to the bank.
Sub-basement? There's spiders down there, boy. You know what I feel about spiders.
There aren't any spiders down there. It's as clean as a new pin. Will you do it?
Oh, Brian.
There. Gotcha, you little devil. The door should open now. Eric, is the alarm off?
Yeah. Fine.
It's all very, very interesting, gentlemen. Very, very interesting indeed.
Stand back, Sanja. It's open now. Okay, Paddy, it's all yours. Juggle with your conductors to your heart's delight.
Okay, Fingers. Don't touch any box.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I just have a very, very tidy, quick sweep in there. Lovely lift.
No, come on, Paddy. Don't do any... Sanja!
Cool. Blimey.
What are you gawping at, girl? Get back to your till. You've got a queue of customers.
What is the matter with you, Sharon?
Well, you won't believe this, sir, but I'm sure the right-hand lift doors flashed open and then closed very quickly. And while it was open, I saw an Indian gentleman in a turban sweeping the lift out.
Get back to your work. It's much too early in the day for hallucinations. They come later.
So sorry, gentlemen.
Yeah,
my naughty broom handle must have caught a digital red button.
Oh, get out, Sanja.
We've got things to do.
And keep well clear if you value your chapatasis.
Oh, very good, sir.
Now hurry it up, Barry. The first package will be on its way down soon.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Oh, please, not to worry. Lots of time. The bank looked very busy, and there was no one waiting for the lift when the door opened up there.
What? It's your talkie-walkie thing.
Walkie-talkie? Oh, never mind.
Charles, you're wrong. Can you hear me? Where are you?
Yes, Nicky, I can hear you. We're watching the bank, resting our feet, just where we can see the right-hand lift. Any message from the basement?
Yes, first packet received. The lift door should be opening any second now.
How are the girls making out, Nicky?
You're fine, no problem.
Where are you?
Second floor at the moment. I'll cut out now.
Okay. The lift door should be opening now, George. Good. Good God, it's Bullet Head.
What on earth's happened to 22?
Lord knows. Oh, dear. Cashier's taking the bag. He's heading for the vault. Bullet Head's going back to the lift. Slowly. Bullet Head, don't rush. He's looking over here. Don't wave, George.
Sorry.
Getting in now. Lift closed.
Gosh.
We've done it. By George, it's going to work, George.
By Charles, I think you're right, Charles. I think we're going to pull it off.
Come on.
Oh, good day once again, Mr. Tubby Train Driver. How is the weather outside?
Where are the others?
Oh, this?
The lift maintenance man.
Oh, too busy. Much, much too busy. Lifts up, down, bags down, bags up. Many bags. Bags along corridor here to tube. Now my job official.
Who says?
The lift gentleman. Another curry house I earn. Madhouse here. Much, much more bags coming down than expected. But I have lots of fit hands bags in secret place. But secret place long way down other corridor and bags very heavy to lift. Elegant fingers them bags get. Very sweaty faces. Grumble, grumble, swear, swear. I carry my bags to you and sing. Ah, oh, already three takeaway curry houses and the day is young. Ah, come on, driver. Bleeding quick. This big pile of bags into your cab.
Blimey, I won't be able to move.
No grumble, grumble.
Oh, bloody hell.
No swear, swear. All aboard and hold very tight, please, and come back quick.
Hello? Yes. Look, Mr. Coloni, I've told you, you mustn't fill me here. It's dangerous. You're at the store now. No sign of extra security activity. Well, Simpson must have got your message. You rang it in yourself. No. I told you I can't ring. He'll recognize my... What? An underworld tip-off. All right, Mr. Coloni, I'll do it. Delia.
Yes, sir?
Would you get me Mr. Simpson, head of Harabi Security? I've just received a tip-off from a reliable source. Something may be going on there.
Ooh, very good, sir.
That's it, 20. Back inside the lift, no two accounts.
Okay.
Bullet Head's just set off down from the bank.
Oh, give him my regards when
right.
You see him.
Right, right. Come on, Eric, get those sacks up here.
Oh, come on, Fingers, get some more sacks. Hang on till that Bullet Head chap arrives. He's got plenty of time between trips, so we can get him to give us a hand. Come on, Bullet Head, you can... Bullet Head? What's the matter?
Come on, Bullet Head. Don't just stand there mouthing. Say what you're trying to say.
Simpson.
Simpson?
It's security, man.
I know. What about him?
He spoke to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Said...
Yes, what did he say?
See you in a few minutes. I'm going up to counts to check how everything's going up there.
What?
Transport, please.
Oh, come on.
Oh, good. Mr. Thompson here. I'd like to speak to your standby driver. I know there are no deliveries on sales day, but I also know there's a driver on standby there. Because I arranged it. You'll get him? Oh, good. Hello. Yes, it's Brian. Hello, Fred. Now, listen very carefully. Tommy the telephone tells me Perkins has phoned in to warn security something's going on, and he's coming in to check the van's being loaded. Yeah, that's the second tip-off there's been. No, luckily Tommy caught both of them. Now, look... Have you got the delivery van loaded with the phony bags? Okay, well, you better go and swap them for the real ones at the dropping-off point now. But it looks as though the whole caper might start to crumble soon. Okay. No. Take the real ones straight to my place, as agreed. Then get back here to load the van up again for another run, if possible.
What?
Trouble?
That was Fingers on the walkie-talkie. Simpson is on his way to accounts.
Well, I can't see how
He's just been talking to Bullet Head in the bank. He gets to accounts and finds out Bullet Head's turned into Twinny.
Good God.
Doubt whether he's the sort who believes in magic.
Diversion time?
Exactly. Hello, Nicky. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Where are you?
Fourth.
Good. Need diversion. Immediate.
Okay. I get the girls moving.
Shall we go up to the fourth floor, Charles? Could be quite interesting.
Mr. Simpson, sir!
Yes, X-Files Corporal, what is it?
You must come downstairs, sir. Fourth floor, quickly.
But I've just come up. Look, I'll pop into accounts and I'll be with you. Hold the lift. There's a good chap.
I think you should come immediately, sir.
Why, what is it?
The shop assistant, sir.
What about them?
They're all taking their clothes off, sir.
What?
Yes, all of them. They're walking around surfing in the nude. Sir!
It's amazing, George.
Absolutely. Never seen so many pink bits in my life. It's as if some sort of primeval chord had been touched, Charles.
You could be right. Human nature's a funny thing. Who'd have thought it possible? Nicky's girls start taking their clothes off as arranged, a nice simple diversion, and suddenly in ones and twos and finally in a flood, the rest of the shop girls are joining in. Never seen anything like it. Even a few of the customers. Well done, madam. Amazing. The papers will have a field day tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
What is it?
The lift. Governor Smith.
Oh, no. More trouble.
He's seen us heading this way.
Right. I'll leave him to me. Just follow my lead and you'll be okay.
Right.
George! Charles! Oh, thank the Lord I found you two here. You must come with me. We must report to security immediately. Warn them something terrible is going on. You won't believe this, but the place is riddled with my ex-prisoners. I even saw one behind the bank counter. Bullet head, would you believe? Everywhere I go, I've seen them. They're obviously up to something. We must report immediately, Charles.
You've made a terrible mistake, I'm afraid, sir.
No, Charles, I know my prisoners anyway.
I don't know about your prisoners, but you're certainly wrong about me. We've never met, as far as I know. And my name isn't Charles.
But of course we've met. It's me, Governor Smith. George, tell him it's me. I know both of you. George Evans and Charles Fox.
I'm awfully sorry. There really has been some mistake. You see, I'm Basil Hendricks, and this is my business associate, Cecil DeVere.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you. Governor Smith, did you say? Charming name. Oh, that's rather a nasty bump on your head, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, that, the place is a madhouse. I got clubbed to the ground the first second I was here. Now it turns out the place is full of prisoners. You two, the spitting image of friends of mine. Add to that all these ladies dashing around with no clothes on. The place is a madhouse.
Ladies?
Yes, these ladies. No clothes on. Nude. Look. Security men trying to cover their bits with their hats.
Trying to cover their what with their hats?
Their bits.
Oh.
Nude ladies? I can't see any nude ladies. Can you, Cecil?
I'm afraid not, Basil. Jolly nice if one could mind.
Look there, behind the counter. Surely you can see her.
Oh, yes, I can see her, all right.
Oh, what did I tell you?
But she's wearing a grey two-piece suit and a white blouse.
But surely... Good Lord. Is she ready? Do you think...
I'm afraid, sir, you've obviously had a nasty crack on the head. An illusion brought on by concussion, I'd imagine.
An illusion? Prisoners, nude ladies, Charles and George? But it's all so real.
Just ask yourself a question. Would you really expect to see nude ladies serving in Harades?
You're right. Excuse me, gentlemen. I must go home. I've obviously had a greater shaking up than I realize. Goodbye.
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 Pleased to have met you.
Well, George, that would appear to be that.
Indeed it would. Indeed it would, Charles. Most exciting day of my life.
Last bag should be on its way down any time. I think we'd better join Nicky. He should have the lorry organized by now.
Very good, Charles. Oh, gosh, who'd have thought a sail could be such fun?
Well, Mr. Simpson, that's every sack neatly stacked away safely.
Yeah, your fears about robbery seem to have been groundless, Mr. Perkins.
I'm very pleased to hear it. Mind you, I can't understand it. Whoever rang the tip in sounded very sure something was going on.
Well, apart from the outbreak of nudes on the fourth floor, the day's gone amazingly smoothly. Best ever. Mind you, strange I didn't receive your telephone warning. I must check that out tomorrow.
I hope you didn't mind me asking you to accompany us here.
No, no, not at all. That little drive through the city to the bank, perfect end to the perfect day. Until next year, that is.
I was just thinking that if there was going to be a raid on the vans, best that you were in one of them, as it were.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Mind you, they've been hard pushed to break through your forces. I've never seen so many security vans and men collected together in one place before. A marvellous show.
You're all part of the service, Mr. Simpson. We'd hate to see one of our most cherished customers lose anything.
That's good to hear. Right. Well, now I've seen them all neatly stacked together in the vault, perhaps you'll give me a lift back to the store.
Yes, certainly. My pleasure. Oh, just one more thing.
And what's that, Mr. Perkins?
I know you have the necessary clearance. I wonder if you'd mind opening one of the sealed bags to check it's all right.
Well, it's very unusual.
Just to set my mind at rest.
Oh, very well. But I do think if you'll excuse the word, that you're being a little paranoid about this. But if it puts your mind at rest, no harm done. Good God. They're full of rubbish, Perkins. They're all full of rubbish.
I promise you, Padrone, everything is fine. I checked at the store myself. My man even now is with the money. No. He's all right. Not Sicilian, but all right. Cost? Well, thousands of pounds, naturally. Saturday is overtime rates. Well, I don't know exactly how many thousands. Oh, Padrone, you know me in the guessing games. Perhaps 50,000 pounds. Okay, perhaps it's less. 30 or 20 even. It's worth it if Ferraris is safe from the robbers. Our reputation's now safe and secure, eh? A little joke? You see, I'm that confident. Safe and secure, get it? Oh, sorry, Padrone, yes. Of course, I'm sure. I'm so sure that even if one bag of money is missing, even one bag, I, Angelo Calonne, son of Machine Gunner Calonne, will pay the whole cost of the operation. Every centime. £40,000, £50,000, who cares? I'm that sure nothing can go wrong, eh? Oh, thank you, Padrone. You're very good. Yes, I'll ring you as soon as he calls. I, Angelo Calonne, son of Machine Gunner Calonne, have spoken. Oh, like a poet. I should have been an actor. Come on. Oh, Pukins at last. Tell me the good news.
Purvey are jolly good fellows. Purvey are jolly good fellows. Purvey are jolly good fellows. Which nobody can deny.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for that vote of confidence and for a splendid day's work, eh, George?
Yeah.
And now, the moment we've all been waiting for so patiently.
Oh,
but what about Brian and his lads? Shouldn't we wait till they arrive?
Oh, very commendable of you to remember, Nicky.
He did ring up to say he thought it best if all his B-block blokes didn't troop round here to the Society's office, so he'll call in to collect their share tomorrow.
Ah, that's fine. I just wondered.
Right, one baggie.
Good thinking, Fingers.
Right.
Clear the desk. We'll spread the contents out on there as we open them.
How about a countdown?
Yes, indeed, George. Love the idea.
One, two, three, open.
Good Lord.
What on earth?
Blimey. We've been robbed.
B-block.
Brian, what is going on? And what's in these bags spread around all over the place?
Bella, you shall discover in just a few seconds. B-Block has triumphed for the first time tonight. Pass me a bag,
Twin. Here, Bri.
I take a knife to cut the seal, and voila! There you have it.
Rubbish.
Give me another.
Right, oh boy.
More rubbish. I'm sorry, Brian, I still don't understand.
Neither do I, Bella. Neither do I. Who on earth could possibly have done this to us?
Brian?
Yes, Cyril.
It's not April Fool's Day by any chance, is it?
Mr. Patel! Sanjay Patel!
Ah, coming, sir. Very, very quick, I'm coming. Oh, good morning, Mr. Chief Security Man Simpson. Nice to see you. But your face very frowny. So nice to have so many gentlemen call us this early in the morning. Policemen, security men, detectives. What sweeping up after detectives? Lolly sticks, chewing gum wrappers, terrible people, too much television detectives.
Mr. Patel, did you see anything suspicious down here yesterday?
No, nothing.
Ah.
Only the hard-working men taking the money back from the lift down there. All the way to the tube train, down there.
Oh, well, I... What?
Oh, yes. Very hard-working men. Bags from lift to tube. Very, very heavy. I helped a lot.
Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe I'm hearing this. You mean... What men, Patel? What men?
Oh, many, many men. I was very, very helpful. Not only carrying to the tubey, I was also making lots of bags of rubbish.
Bags of rubbish?
Yes. Money bags of rubbish for George and Charles. Very heavy.
George and Charles?
No. The money bags are very heavy.
I mean, who were George and Charles?
Oh, that's nice men. A pleasure to work for him. One takeaway curry house they offer me. Also, I make more special bags of rubbish for a nice Mr. Thompson and personnel.
Thompson? Personnel?
Yes, that would be him. Charming man. He say, don't tell George and Charles or Pokino Simpson. Oh, if they express an excuse, Mr. Pokino's. No, wrong. Mr. Simpson. So I get number 2. do take away Curry House.
You do realize you are going to be charged with being an accessory, Patel?
No, 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 not necessarily. If you'll excuse me, sir, I hear on the news there is a little reward for the clever men who find the missing £4.5 million.
Yes, 10%, but there's no way that you're going to...
I, Sanjay Patel, claim the reward. The bad men I will reveal.
You claim?
Oh, yes. Fishy, I thought.
Fishy?
Something fishy about this. Make George and Charles many bags of rubbish. I also make Mr. Thompson personnel many bags of rubbish. And also, I make me, Sanjay Patel, many bags of rubbish.
You mean...
Very much, I mean that. Turns out there was no robbery, Mr. Simpson. I have got a special little room, my secret place, full to the roof with money bags. I swapped them for my own very special rubbish bags before they went for a nice little tubby ride.
Good God! The money's been here all the time, and still is.
Indeed it is. And now, Mr. Simpson, can we talk about my reward and about my daisy chain of takeaway curry houses?
Peter Jones played Charles Forbes and Lockwood West, George Evans, in Burglar's Bargains by Wally K. Daly. Governor Smith, Donald Hewlett. Bullethead, Bernard Breslau. The twins, David Timpson. Brian Thompson, John Pullen. Perkins, Adrian Egan. Delia, Elizabeth Ryder. Simpson, John Rye. The Liftman and Tommy, Gordon DeLue. Adams, Philip Voss. Bella Thompson, Diana Bishop. Angelo Caloni, Gordon Reed. Sanjay Patel, Danny Schiller. Doreen and Dolly, Josie Kidd. Eric, Brian Haynes. Barry, Trevor Cooper. Nick the Greek, Roger Hammond. Fingers, Charles Hawtrey. Billy, John Bull. Ex-Lance Corporal, Fraser Carr. Burglar's Bargains was directed by Martin Jenkins.
Oh, very, very good.